This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
That's right, we are back. This is not Dusty Likens, this is not Bob Fesco, and it is not 6 a.m. It's 8 a.m. on a Black Friday for Black Friday football coverage. I am Mac Morey, Drew Nixon with me. We're live with you right here on 96.5 The Fan for the next 3 hours.
What's up?
Woo! Hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving with your friends, your family. Hope you all had wonderful food. I'll tell you what, at 11 a.m., about 11:15, 11:20, I'll get home. Leftovers, They're hitting the microwave. They're getting zapped. Sorry about it. If you don't like the microwave, I'm sorry. You put it on a pan, whatever works for you. But I cannot wait for a turkey sandwich with some stuffing, some green bean casserole, maybe little sweet potatoes. Man, it'll be my third or fourth serving, but who cares? Who gives a rip? Because I need to eat my sorrows away, right? After that game yesterday.
Wait. So what time did you eat then?
Well, I ate before the Chiefs game.
Okay.
And then ate two more servings throughout the day. And then I'll eat two more servings today.
Oh, of course.
So I'll have like 5 total servings of Thanksgiving by the time it's one.
I don't know why, but for some reason I felt like my stomach was like as big as a regular donut yesterday. I had one plate.
Oh.
And that's it. Yeah, I was really depressed.
I've had that happen to me.
I was like, all right, well, it was really good, but you know, now I feel like today is really where
you
a
can
lot
indulge
of the food,
fully. Yeah. No, you can fully go. I mean, I would say the Chiefs should fully indulge today, but I don't know if they deserve it after yesterday. I would say you guys should dig in, but hey, 6-6. Here's the thing, Drew. Win-out territory for the Kansas City Chiefs has officially begun.
We are
31-28 lost yesterday to the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas, and it's an NFC team, so it's not over. It's not the Colts. They won that game, but we're in win-out territory. If they want any chance of seeing the postseason, making the playoffs, they have to win out the rest of the season and probably hope for some things to go their way. But I think if they win out the rest of the year, they'd make the playoffs. But I don't know why they would. I don't know what is showing me right now. That there's some positives that you could point to. Like, that's the best offense you'll play for the rest of the season. That's one positive that I thought about yesterday after the loss. But I mean, there's so many other things that I look to that have yet to get fixed. Penalties again yesterday.
Yeah, it's been a constant. How many did they have? 10 for 119, I believe.
I think
is what
so.
It was. And there were a few that were
double-digit penalties,
taken.
Triple digits in yards. Unbelievable. And some of those were bad calls. We could talk about that. The officiating was rough.
Of course,
but
yes.
But, like, I don't care. Like, I don't really care.
In the end, ultimately, it's really hard for, I think, it's hard for me to ever blame officiating for the reason why you lose a game, unless it is Rams-Saints type of, like, or whatever game. Saints-whatever. You know, that sort of a pass interference call late in the game where it directly influences
like
things.
Egregious, yeah.
We didn't get that where, yeah, there were some bad calls, but in the end, there are some where you got to be more disciplined and you got to be just better.
Yep. And it wasn't just the PIs. There was one on Josh Simmons that definitely wasn't a hold in my opinion. But again, I don't want to go through all of these calls and say, listen, this was bad.
And just nitpick, yeah.
No, and nitpick, like, listen, like, you had 20, 25 minutes where you did nothing on offense. You had four straight three and outs. The defense, third straight game of not recording a sack. First time in Spagnuolo's career where his defense has done that. Like, just unacceptable things with this team over and over and over again. And I'm losing patience. I'm done at this point. I've been the positive guy. I've been the, hey, we have a chance, optimistic, here we go. And again, is it over? Not technically, no.
No.
But do I feel like it's over? Yeah, kind of. Yesterday sucked.
I think Patrick Mahomes kind of phrased it well in the postgame presser as, look, like we've shown that we can beat anybody, but we also can lose to anybody. And, you know, you look at what that typically means and, you know, 9-8, it feels like that it feels like, to your point, Mac, of this seems like it's that type of team. Where they're 9-8, they're fighting to be 10-7, which we know at this point doesn't seem to be good enough to make the wild card. You're 10-7 is not enough to win the division by any stretch. I don't think, obviously. So you're putting yourselves in a position where what we're seeing on TV is a team that is not capable of doing what it takes, what it seems to take to make the playoffs this year, which is 11-6. 10-7, yeah. But they've lost the tiebreakers to all the teams they highlighted that yesterday. Chargers right now, loss. Jacksonville, loss. Buffalo, loss. You know, there's a lot of things that we're going to break down throughout the show, but looking at the overall optics of it going forward, I totally understand why you feel that way and why other people feel that way. I mean, we have people saying that we need to rebuild.
And, well, I mean, we could talk about what that word means, but I mean, there's a reset, maybe would be the better verbiage in my opinion. I mean, I've been mentioning this for the past couple weeks. What did the Chiefs do to get better in the offseason, getting ready for this year, prepping to continue and extend this dynastic run? How did they get better? Simmons. And that is the only answer. They did nothing. Yeah. Nothing. The draft does not help them. And if you want to talk about the coaching staff not playing the players.
No Williams
not getting a lot of snaps yesterday. Again, if you want to talk about some of the coaching staff being at fault for some of those decisions, fine. Brett Veach can only draft the players, right? At some point, you got to
totally
Billy Bean or whatever it is, you're Brad Pitt and Moneyball, and you're just cutting guys and you're saying, play them. Philip Seymour Hoffman, play them.
Can Breshard get a carry? Can he get a carry?
Right? Like Jeffrey Bassa, like he was supposed to be good in coverage. Like there are multiple guys. Ashton Gelati had a tackle for loss yesterday. Like he had a moment, but that's a rookie. Like how much can you really depend on? And then in the free agency, you're paying Christian Fulton for healthy scratches, 2-year, $20 million. Healthy scratch. Meanwhile, you've got McDuffie, the best slot corner in the game, playing outside, getting cooked repeatedly. You have a reset's absolutely needed, and that could be from the coaching staff, that could be from a GM perspective, not saying that Brett Veach needs to be out, but a reset from Veach's mentality of going, okay, how do I get the guys that I want in the game? How do I, you know, reconfigure this defensive and offensive system? We've got a lot of big defensive ends, a lot of slow edge rushers. Okay, how do I bring in the Micah Parsons, the Will Andersons, those archetypes of the world? Like, on offense, do we become a run-first team with Patrick Mahomes being the play-action slayer and the improviser out of the pocket, like giving him those opportunities to kill? I know you said it over text, Drew, yesterday, and then you said it off the air before we started. Like, Andy Reid also, like, you can talk about the roster, and trust me, I'm Brett Veach's number one critic, but Andy Reid's got to give his guys the chance to go make plays.
Yeah, I think that it... To me, the one thing that bothered me maybe the most, and I'm sure we'll get to the defense in a second. Obviously, when McDuffie and Jalen Watson are having struggles and that's the best part of your defense, you know, it probably means that you're not having a very good day at the office. But from the standpoint of at halftime, and I know that we kind of beat this topic to death over the course of the earlier part of the week in terms of they got to run the football, they got to do this. They had more runs, technically. Mahomes, I know, had two of them, but they had more runs than throws in the first half. And I understand Patrick Mahomes was part of it, but him right, he ran the ball twice, threw it for 12 times. So he had 14 plays for Patrick Mahomes when the ball was in his hands. 13 of them, other runs that the ball was not in his hands for. To me, if he is the best quarterback on the planet, which I believe we all think is true, then you shouldn't be running the ball as many times as you're throwing it, or running it more than you're throwing it. I think that, that's something that, and I don't know if that's an Andy Reid thing, if that's a scheme thing, if that is a you, but to me, you trust your best players and let them go and win you the game and make the plays. And I know that Kareem Hunt has been solid in the run game.
Yes.
But there comes a time when you just have to, and Tony Romo said it multiple times during the broadcast this week and last week, I think, you just got to let Mahomes cook. Let him do his thing. Then sometimes you see him make some bad throws, and it's like, well, can't get on the page. And at the same time, it's like, well, running the ball is effective. So it feels like a loss here, where it's like, let this dude do his thing because he's the best at what he does. But then there's moments where he doesn't look as good as what we've seen him be before. So do you want to just continue to run the football? I don't know. You obviously need to have a balance, but it makes it, it's hard to watch this offense. All the things we were promised, Mac, because we were, and I'm by promised, when Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy before the season are saying, man, you guys just need to watch out.
Get ready, man.
You know, the deep ball is back, baby. All of these things. It's the exact same offense they had last year, and everybody's, for the most part, been on the field for them.
No one's open. Four straight three and outs yesterday. They go through regularly. Half of the game, there will just be a lull. They started two great drives to start the game. I know one of them was off of a turnover, short field. They capitalized 14 points to start the game. Didn't score again the rest of that. It's mind-boggling how quickly this offense can go from hero to zero, and it happens within a game, within a drive. And at some point, you're right, you can only point the finger so many places. You've got the offensive line, I know, besides yesterday, right? Yesterday it went to you know what, it went to crap. And we can talk about Josh Simmons, him being out, if he's gone the rest of the year, which it looks to be a wrist injury, went out of the game yesterday with a cast, or left the locker room rather after the game with a cast on. Looks like we'll see, you know, the timeline with him, but this is an offensive lineman, and you're talking about his wrist? Yeah, that's a pretty important part of the body for that position. So we'll see, you know, the offensive line is now going to be extremely hindered. But before that, you had your offensive line healthy and was playing above average to pretty solid, to pretty good, to pretty damn good. You had your wide receivers healthy. You had your tight end there. You're like, everyone was healthy. Everyone's there. It's no longer the offensive line. It's no longer the wide receivers. Like, and at some point, I need answers for why this offense can't score, can't be productive, can't be efficient, can't get the job done. And at some point, you have to stop pointing fingers. It's got to be on the head coach. And I can look at some advanced stats, and trust me, I'm the stats guy, Drew. I'm the nerd. Like, the DVOA, the EPA per dropback, like, all that stuff looks really good, looks elite, and that's what I've been pointing to. Like, listen, like, it's going to revert back to the mean. Look at these advanced stats. These don't lie. And I think part of that's true, but to me, to make sense of it, and this is how I've made sense of it, Drew, those advanced stats are Mahomes going in the water. He's drowning. Help! Help! That's him. Look, I'm still elite. I'm dragging this team from the mud. I'm helping you up. I'm lifting you up. My back is tired. And I'm trying to show you that I'm still this guy. We saw it yesterday, one of the best Mahomes plays of his career. And that's not hyperbolic. Quinnen Williams, top five defensive lineman, breaks the tackle, jumps out of another guy's grasp, and throws a rocket to what's supposed to be the fastest player in the NFL. And it looked like a 38-year-old tight end running to the sideline. That's a different topic as well. But he can make those plays. That's Mahomes saying, I need someone. And that someone's Big Red. This is on you now. This is on you.
I agree. I think you have to look at the head coach for these for this now, because of the players being. This is the thing too. There's no argument that they don't have the talent. Like, this is not a Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney, DeAndre Hopkins, older DeAndre Hopkins led wide receiver room. Like, this is not a couple of rookies who are still trying to find their way in Rashee Rice and Zay. This is a couple years in Rashee Rice. This is 2 years in Xavier Worthy. And I know he's beaten up and banged up, but he's out there, okay? Plain and simple. And he's running around, and he's out there. Hollywood Brown is healthy right now. Travis Kelce looks the best that he has been in terms of shape in the last couple of seasons. How is it looking as bad as it has been previously? That I think, ultimately, and I know that ultimately Matt Nagy is a part of things, and he's gotten a lot of the blame, but you have to, at this point, look to Andy Reid. And I think, to your point, Mac, and we've heard this throughout, and we were just talking about it pre-show, we keep hearing how close this team is every week. I don't know if it's been Mahomes saying it, or if it's been Andy saying it, or if it's both, or if it's mainly Andy. And I think it's mainly Andy's missing. You know, we're close. There's a couple things that are missing, but it's every single week. Where, yes, they might be able to put up 28 points, but it feels like it is the most difficult thing on the planet, where the Chiefs score and then the Cowboys 4 plays later are right back in the red zone again, and it's like, all right, man, well, what is this? George Pickens is hurtling Trent McDuffie after he catches and spins around. And I think nobody's able to get open. And I don't know if that is a player thing or if that is a scheme thing and it's not working thing, or if it's the offensive line, or if Mahomes just isn't seeing anybody, which at times it feels like it's been all three of those things throughout the course of the last 4 or 5 weeks of the year.
It's really disappointing because you're right. The answers, the problem solvers, all the things that you'd think that could fix the issues on this team and help this team win games and produce more effectively are there. It feels like you've got a lot of the ingredients in the kitchen. A lot of them. I don't think all of them. I think, again, we could talk about the GM and his issues, and we can do that throughout the show. But right now, I'm pointing at the head coach, and I don't know what else this team can do. And we're going to talk about the defense as well, because I think the defense has a lot to answer as well. We're going to talk about the left tackle throughout today. We're going to do a little one word. If you listen with us on Fesco and Dusty around 7:30, we do one word. We'll do that today at 8:30. We've got Sean Smith at 9 o'clock coming on the show. Let's go. Former Chiefs defensive lineman. We'll have Josh Briscoe pre and post game, the Chiefs radio network for Chiefs games. He'll be live with us right at 10 o'clock. So we've got a loaded show today. Live with you guys, Drew Nixon, Mac Morey, live until 11 a.m. Black Friday football coverage right here on 96.5 The Fan. It is your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, the guys know. I mean, they understand. We've got to clean up a few things, and we've got to do better as coaches. We have to do better as players, and so you go back to the drawing board, and you keep working is what you do. And we were close here, but we had too many opportunities that we gave away, and you can't be two good teams playing each other. You can't have those things.
I mean, if you're close so many times, at some point, if I'm playing my older brother in basketball and every time I lose, but I'm close, at some point, how close am I really? Because I think my older brother's probably just keeping it close. At some point, the score isn't really indicative of how close it is. 28-31 yesterday, how close really was it? You scored at the very end. By the way, hey, nice job, offense. You go score super quick. Where's that been for half an hour? Just ridiculous. So the entire football game, where has that been? You go score, then you're counting on your defense again to save you again. Andy Reid, best offensive play caller, best offensive mind, most innovative guy of all time. This is the guy who changed the way. Where is that? Where is that? Best quarterback of all time, most talented quarterback of all time. The baby goat. You are not letting him thrive. It's ridiculous. You've got Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy. I don't know where to go anymore, but you are not as close as you say if over and over again is the same result. It's the same things happening.
Well, and ultimately, I think it gets tiring, because it doesn't matter how close you are. If you keep losing, it doesn't matter. You are 6-6. You are whatever they are, 10th in the playoffs. 10th.
Yeah. Yep.
With Patrick Mahomes, the defense is healthy.
Actually, they are ninth.
They're ninth. Hey.
They're ninth, thanks to you guys.
What? Hey, you're welcome. one step closer, I guess, you know, to keep it in the conversation, to keep the theme up. It just gets tiring, I think, at least.
Absolutely.
It should be tiring at this point for you to hear that week in and week out. When, to your point, Mac, every single game feels like it's a game of catch-up. Every single game.
And it feels like Groundhog Day. It's penalties. It's a turnover here or there. And I know yesterday that wasn't the case. Mahomes took care of the ball. No fumbles yesterday either from the running backs. Like, there were no turnovers yesterday. But overall, if you look at these losses, that's really what it is. It's a turnover. It's a lot of penalties. It's not capitalizing on the other team's mistakes. It's going through massive offensive lulls. It's the same issues every week. Live here until 11 a.m. on Black Friday football coverage right here on 96.5. The Fan, it's your home for the Kansas City Chiefs. Mac Morey and Drew Nixon with you until 11 a.m. 913-586-7965 is the Jay Southland Tow Service text line number if you want to be a part of the show. I know a lot of you do. We should probably take calls today, too, honestly. Like, we should probably get some of your guys' opinions. Maybe we do that after one word. We're going to do one word here coming up in about 10 minutes. Maybe after that segment, before we have former Chiefs defensive lineman Sean Smith on at 9, maybe around 8:45 or so, maybe we take some calls and just kind of let you guys vent and hear what you guys are thinking. Is the season over? I want to hear, are you guys done? Is it? I know most of you will probably say that. And again, I can't say it is officially over. But if you ask me, is this team making the playoffs? I'd probably say no. But is the season over? No. Like, both those things can be simultaneously true. We're live on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook as well, so you can watch us there on The Fan 965. Thank you so much for being a part of our Black Friday, or letting us be a part of your Black Friday, rather. I hope you guys all had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Besides this just terrible, inexplicable Chiefs loss. And again, you see this over and over and over again. Chiefs now 6-6, have dug themselves a hole, and the injuries aren't helping either, because Josh Simmons looks like he could be seriously out. And honestly, Drew, I ask all of you again, 913-586-7965, how far can this team even realistically go without 71 if he's not on the field? And we don't know. Juwan Taylor, obviously, he went out of the game yesterday with an elbow injury. I don't even want to talk about if it's Wanya Morris in there, but let's just say it's Jalen Moore and Juwan Taylor in the game. How much does that drop your ceiling?
I think they can still... It doesn't hinder them to the point where they're just incapable of winning, of doing what they need to do to make it, if it's Jalen Moore in there. We saw what it was like with Wanya in there, where the first play, he gets blown up and almost falls into Patrick Mahomes' legs.
He's atrocious.
We know what it would be, I think, if we got to that point. But even still, I think that, you know... We saw Wanya play, and they were able to win games, and Patrick Mahomes was able to elevate them. Now, is this team capable of it? That's a story maybe for, that's a conversation maybe for another time when we know it actually would be Wanya in there. But if it's Jalen Moore, then we know that he can be serviceable enough to get the job done, I think is more of what it would be, at least from my side of things.
No, you're right about that.
It doesn't mean that they have no chance, but it's an... It's not as good as Josh Simmons, obviously, no question. And I know, yes, Josh Simmons did not have that great of a game yesterday. But we know who the best left tackle is on the team, and when he's out with a dislocated wrist, fractured wrist, out indefinitely, you're going to, you know, be struggling.
From the 6-6-0. But the defense only gives up blank points, but the other team is paid to play too. But nothing. This team is literally a 500, no playoff going team. We all knew this weeks ago. It was just a matter of who wanted to actually accept it. There needs to be a garage sale at Arrowhead this offseason. Players and several coaches. Woo!
There are a lot of players who technically have to be reworked with their deals, ironically enough. There's a lot of players, I think, on that list. I think I saw somebody posted a couple weeks ago. There's a lot of players that they got to work things out with, but...
From the 8-1-6, they can't score in the second or third quarter. It doesn't matter who's at left tackle. Yeah, I don't disagree.
That's a fair point.
No, I don't disagree.
Somebody mentioned the middle eight and how they're so bad. And you and I talked briefly.
The middle eight?
The middle 8 minutes. The last four.
The double dip is not existent.
A double dip, yes.
It's non-existent. And again, yesterday, a 3-and-out coming out of the first. It's every stinking week, man, with this football team.
You can't steal a possession early on in the game. Yep. And they did, in fairness, they executed and they scored a touchdown off of it. But they stole a possession and they still were down at halftime. And then they obviously...
14-17 with stealing a possession.
And they obviously came out and they weren't able to put points on the board. It's like the little things that the Chiefs were always used to them being good at, they're not as good at anymore. At least this season. We're used to them not making the mistakes. We're used to them always taking advantage, And it feels like we just don't get that. And I don't know if that's on both sides of the ball, but it feels like at times it's both sides of the ball where there's just a little bit of inconsistency enough where the things that happen in close games, you got to be better at the little things. If it's going to be close games and one score games that we've seen them be so good at, they haven't been as good in the little things. And as a result, they're 1-5 now in one score games?
In one score games. And again, that stat, not deceiving, I won't say, but I think yesterday a little deceiving, as if like you were down two scores the majority of that game.
They were down 31-21 with what, 6 minutes left?
Yeah,
or five minutes left?
You put yourself in a what needed to be a miracle if you ever wanted to win. You put yourself in an almost impossible situation to come back and win the game. And so, yeah, one score, all this, we're so close, got to clean it up. I saw that from a text from the 402. If I hear clean up one more time from Andy Reid, I'm going to explode. And you're right. Listen, we're headed into week 13, week 14.
Yep.
Nobody cleaning it up.
On Monday, I bet you hear it. On Monday, you'll hear it.
And just got some things to clean up. Yeah, no, listen, man, that's all finished. That's all done. You had the bye week. Everyone's been back healthy. And I know you're dealing with injuries all the time, but there's no more cleaning it up. And this is a team that's been together and been on a dynasty run. They've solved a lot of those issues. They should have already had this discipline here. I get a game here or there. Hey, we've got to kind of strap it in, tighten things up again. I understand that. Jaguars game early on. It's week 5. It's a Jaguars team that's sneaky. I get you're going through a lot of different woes. Xavier Worthy's come back. Rashee Rice isn't there. Like, there's things that you can point to. Offensive line is younger, doesn't have the chemistry. Like, I get that. It's been 2 months. Plus, everyone's back.
Yep.
There's no more of this. The excuses have to end, and the time is ticking for Kansas City, just like it is for me to take this break. Listen, we've got one word on the other side, and then we're going to take your calls before we're joined by Sean Smith later on in the show at 9 o'clock. Drew Nixon and myself, Mac Morey, live with you until 11 a.m. here on Black Friday football coverage, live on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
One, two, three.
Oatmeal raisin.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Let's go.
Woo! Black Friday football coverage live here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs. Doing a little one word, taking a little bit from my boys Fesco and Dusty. We usually do it at 7:30. We're going to do it here today at 8:30. We are live until 11 a.m. Drew and I are. So I'll start for us. One word. Yesterday, Drew, on the Chiefs-Cowboys game.
Ugh.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
UGH! Exclamation point, I guess.
I'll say wimpy. Wimpy. KC decided to punt. This comes from Surrender Index. Kansas City decided to punt to Dallas from the Dallas 44 on 4th and 4 with 7 minutes remaining in the third quarter. They were down 14-17. That has a Surrender Index of 20.49. So this punt ranks, I'll let you know what that means, this punt ranks at the 98th percentile of cowardly punts of this season and the 96th percentile of all punts since 1999, since almost I've been on this earth a little after, but still, wow.
Jeez.
Andy, you're going back to your old ways. Wimpy.
By wimpy, do you mean like you're going to flex, but instead of it going up, it's down.
It's going down. It's negative flex. Yeah, 100%. How about more positive here? Hey, listen. Andy did say it. Not that I wanted to hear it from him yesterday, but it was cool. You know, you see all these people watching football, and that's what really matters, family, all that stuff. And it's great. Mm. I do agree with him. Don't necessarily want to hear it from him right now,
no.
But you're right. I agree. That's what matters, and I didn't let it ruin my day by any means. Had a fantastic day and multiple meals with my family at my mother's house, and it was great. And I can't wait to eat the leftovers all day today and watch more football. But one word on your Thanksgiving, Drew.
Banging. It was banging. Food was good.
Good meal. Yeah.
The game of the day was great.
Hey, your game of the day was awesome.
At 7 p.m. It was wonderful.
It
was banging.
Good, good. Favorite dish? Yesterday?
Corn pudding.
Corn pudding. Okay.
Two thumbs up.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's the best dish.
I will go, yeah, I'll do, yeah, you know, family. Values, I'll second Andy here.
I was gonna say, are you pulling an Andy right now?
I'm pulling an Andy. That's what really matters, right? You know, it doesn't matter about the football. Come on, guys, who cares about football? It's okay for me to say that, not for you, Andy. One word on...
Hold on.
I'm just kidding.
Favorite dish, because you asked me.
Oh, okay, favorite dish.
Yesterday.
Man, yesterday everything was kicking, man. Mm. Oh, it was so good, man. My fiance Hannah kills it on the sweet potatoes. She's so good with that. And the mashed potatoes are great. I love the stuffing. I'm just going to name everything. It was all great. But I'll go. That sweet potato is so, so good. How about one word? I'll give you a moment. And text line, he had his win yesterday. The Bengals won. Joe Burrow's back. Let him have a moment. One word on the Bengals yesterday with Joe Burrow.
Oh, it was satisfying.
Yeah,
satisfying. I tweeted it out after the game. No matter how the rest of the season goes, if they honestly could lose the rest of the game, it was so satisfying to see a full team quality win, five turnovers forced by a defense that ranked dead last in about every category. It was so satisfying. It was great.
Yeah, I'll say fun. It was fun seeing Joe Burrow back. He looked great in the second half. He looked good in the first. It was a little obviously rusty, getting slow.
Yeah.
In the first. I mean,
that's definitely fair. Rusty.
It takes a second. That you'd expect
him,
that.
He was getting a little emotional in the post game too, a little bit. Yeah,
you can tell. Like, he loves it. He's a weirdo. He's kind of a geek. It is funny. Like, he's like this. All the girls are like, oh my gosh, Joe Burrow, and it's like, he's kind of a nerd. He's kind of a geek, a little awkward. But I love that about him, and it was good seeing him back. It's important for the league to have Joe Burrow playing, so it was good to see him back. One word, a lot of college football today, and we will get to it because we've got college football expert, host of 247 Miles of College Football right here. One word on college football this Black Friday.
For today, incredible. The slate is incredible. Utah, of course, playing Kansas. The Jayhawks trying to make it to a bowl game, get Georgia Tech. The battle for the Old Oaken Bucket back in the homeland of Indiana between IU and Purdue, Texas A&M and Texas, Arizona and Arizona State. I mean, plus more games as well. It's epic. Incredible.
Yeah, I think epic's the right one. I'll take that. Epic is it, because it is nice having
the Egg Bowl.
This is the rare you get the Egg Bowl, of course. Mm. Yeah, my fiance Hannah is going to be locked in, potentially last game for Lane Kiffin. And I want to let you guys know, because we're almost done here with one word, but I want to let you guys know we are going to take some calls here. So 913-586-7965 for the next 10 or 15 minutes. We are going to listen to you guys vent. I want to hear what you think the issues are. Are we done? Is it over? All those sorts of things. Who are you blaming for this season? I want to hear your thoughts. 913-586-7965 is the number to be a part of the show. So make sure you call in and hit up the phone lines. But that is actually interesting. One word on, let's just talk Lane Kiffin for a second here in one word, Drew, because this could be his last game. You mentioned the Egg Bowl, 11 a.m., Ole Miss versus Mississippi State. One word on, let's just say, because LSU feels like a foregone conclusion, one word on Lane Kiffin to LSU, if that were to happen.
Questionable.
Okay.
And the reason I say that, it's not because it's a bad decision, but I do feel like it's one of those things where he follows the trajectory of his career in a way. I think his credibility takes a little bit of a hit. Joe Clatt had made that reference. I think he does. It takes it 1-1 as well. And in some ways, it's not the job itself necessarily. It's the situation. It feels like it might be. Is it actually that much better of a spot to be than where you're at currently in Ole Miss?
Exactly. The grass ain't always greener.
That's where
we're
at in college football right now.
Yeah, the grass ain't always greener. One word, man. Nikola Jokic spoke over the weekend about what he's thankful for, and man, it was just so fantastic. You love seeing Nikola Jokic in his element, because his element isn't always basketball. It's actually horses and having some sass. So this is Nikola Jokic discussing what he's thankful for.
And with Thanksgiving right around the corner, what are a couple of things you're just thankful for?
What I'm thankful for?
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God.
Dude, there are just so many aspects of him. He hates everything that has to do with basketball outside of the basketball itself.
Outside
and
of
then
playing.
He just wants to go and hang out with his family or watch his horses run in races. Like, He's a fascinating human being.
What I'm thankful for?
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Relatable. That would be relatable for Nikola Jokic, because everyone gets that question and goes, what am I going to say? I got three things and probably all of them are wrong answers. I just go with your mom, go with your spouse, your family. Just go with a basic one. It's okay.
My family.
Yeah. My family. Or you can just
no
be,
more of that.
Or you can just be Jokic, right?
Oh my God.
Oh my God. I hate this question. I want to take calls from you guys, seriously. So make sure to call in and talk to us, 913-586-7965. I want to hear what your guys' thoughts are as far as this Chiefs loss is concerned. Are you hitting the panic button? Not just for this year, but this dynasty. Like, where are you at in terms of your panic, in terms of your stress, in terms of your sadness, your anger? All those things, I want to hear your emotions, 913-586-7965. We've got Jake and Gladstone on the line. Jake, what's going on? Oh, I don't know how to do it on my side. Sorry, Drew.
Now we're good.
I just want to say that I'm thankful for the past years that we've gotten with the Chiefs. We've all been pretty privileged. So for everyone freaking out because we're having what we can just say it, it's a down season. They need to open their eyes and realize what we've had. That being said, though, I think it was really disappointing to see just Andy Reid revert back to not running under center, not doing what was working. I think we could probably write it up as if we don't have Simmons out there and Wanya Morris is going to be our guy, we have problems. And I don't think that we're going to make a deep run in the playoffs without anybody who can block for Pat. He gets happy feet, and then those middle 8 minutes, you know, we got to be more successful there because the championship teams are.
Jake, I appreciate the call, brother. I really do. That's right. I mean, I think he said it at the first part of the call is like, hey, we should be thankful for what has happened in these past few years and remember that. Because one off season or one bad season, rather, shouldn't get rid of that. It shouldn't tarnish the last 8 years. Because eventually you are going to have a slip-up. You're going to have a mess-up. Now, how do you respond to this would be the bigger question in my mind. Is it going to happen? Of course. You're going to have a slip-up. You're going to have a mess-up. You're going to have maybe a couple bad signings, a couple bad decisions that could screw you up for a year or two. The Patriots went 10 years without winning, right? But how do you respond from that slip-up is going to be my big question for this team. Here we go. Brett from Lee Summit, what do you got? Brett, right, let's go back. Let's see. Hold. Let's see. What do I do? There we go. Brett, now you're on. What do you got?
So, I think the season is over. I don't think we're making the playoffs. Okay. We can't get pressure with four.
Yep. Is that your biggest problem with this team, Brett?
I think the biggest problem with this team is we just keep hearing how they're better than last year's team, and we're not better than last year's team. Last year's team could win in close games. Last year's team could bring it together. I mean, we have multiple problems on this team. D-line, O-line, injuries hurt that, but that's part of football. You got to overcome it. You got to overcome the injuries and adversity. We can't execute in certain spots.
So season's over. We're now headed in the off season. Give me your biggest priority.
D-line.
Yeah. Finding that pressure with four.
Getting pressure with four. When we have to send blitzes and leave our corners on an island, flags are going to come. I mean, I don't blame the ref. Some of those penalties last night, were they ticky-tacky? Yeah, but if you can't get pressure with four, you're going to leave your corners on an island sending blitzes, and good quarterbacks are going to eat that up.
Yeah, at some point, and Brett, thanks for the call. I really appreciate it. At some point, I mean, I think it's you become stagnant. You become repetitive. You become who you are too much, right? I mean, it feels like they've just gotten stuck in their ways.
Totally.
Like he's saying it right there. Like you just kind of know what's coming up next. Other coaches are feeding off of it, and we're now seeing it every Sunday where, hey, you're asking for Mahomes to pull out the magic pixie dust every week. You've got to do the groundwork, man. Some of these teams you should be able to beat handily, and I'm not saying the Cowboys are one of them. Again, I think the Cowboys are the best offense you'll play the rest of the season. Damian and KCK, what's going on, brother?
Hey, what's going on, you guys? Appreciate you taking my call. I listen to you guys every day. Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
Just wanted to say that I was really disappointed kind of in the cornerbacks. I know it wasn't all on them. Jalen Watson kind of made me mad for about five plays in a row there. He was getting burned real bad. The offensive line, I think they'll be okay next year. I'm not sure about the rest of this year. That's all I wanted to say, and thanks for the call.
Hey, man, I really, really appreciate you calling in. Thank you so much. I mean, the O-line, listen, it's going to be an issue the rest of this season. Josh Simmons is probably going to hit the IR. Listen, that's just like, let's be matter of fact about it. He's got a fractured wrist. He left the game yesterday and then went to the locker room, and after that, people see him leaving the locker room with a wrist, with a cast on his wrist, rather. So Josh Simmons is going to be out, and it's going to be tough. But yeah, I appreciate the call. Let's go over to Travis from Liberty. 913-586-7965 if you do want to get in and be a caller onto the show here. Travis, what's going on?
Hey, what's up? My biggest issue is everybody keeps complaining about the run game, but and the running backs, but if we don't run the ball, it doesn't matter.
So do you think that you're going to put that mostly on Andy for just not running the ball? But these last two games, I mean, even yesterday, it felt like he ran it more than he had in the past. Do you think like part of it is like maybe Andy's a little scarred from just the lack of talent in the running back room? Like, who do you really put the blame on? Is that Veach or Andy?
I think it's got to go on Andy, even though okay. I hate to say it, I love Andy.
Of course. Rev, of course.
Yeah, he needs to go back to what we did last week. They did run the ball more this time, but it's kind of frustrating when you don't stick with it, I guess I should say.
No, I get what you're saying. It feels like an easy button problem. I do wish that they could have given him a little bit more talent back there. I tend to kind of lean... I get what you're saying, Travis. Sometimes I lean the other way as well, where I go, well, damn, maybe he would run the ball if they got a Breece Hall, or if they would have drafted a Judkins or someone, you know, a Travion Henderson, name your guy in the draft that maybe could have been there. I do struggle with that way of thinking too, Travis. But, man, I appreciate the call. I agree they do need to run the ball more anyways. Mason and Gladstone. Mason, what's the biggest issue with this team? What's your biggest gripe? Where are you at? Is the season over?
Okay,
where are you at?
So, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you, brother.
Okay, so... I understand that the Chiefs lost, you know, it was done by their own accord, right? But you can't tell me that last drive that the Cowboys had, the two defensive pass interference calls were complete bogus, yeah. Brother. Like, it was I hate to say Homer because of who was reffing, but, like, it blows my mind. Like, it really does.
No, I get it, Mason. I appreciate the call. The officiating was bad yesterday.
Oh yeah, it was consistent. Which it's I think yeah,
consistently bad. You're right.
I think part of the reason why people are also frustrated is it's not like the official. It's been a couple weeks now in a row where it's been like this, and it's not necessarily one sided against the Chiefs, but it's just a ref show. It's a hey, look at us. You know, we're wearing the stripes, and we're just gonna. Call fouls, and it's been consistent here the last couple of games. I think people are just kind of over it, where if you look at just the history, Andy's teams do technically commit more penalties mm-hmm. More often than other teams do, but there are levels to it. And I think to Mason's point, the one that was on Trent McDuffie looked like it was just a no call.
Yes.
It looked like CD Lamb was it looked like CD, if anything, was shoving off as well. And, yep. And Trent McDuffie might have pulled on his arm. It was a no call to me. I think part of it is, and to the texter's point from the 913, I get the ref issue, but as Bob says, you can't let it be a factor. It feels like they're
so true.
Amidst the penalty issues, amidst the questionable calls. None of them are the reason you lost the game ultimately.
No, they're not.
And I understand that that's part of just the deal. And penalties happen and there's bad calls that happen.
Yes.
But ultimately, it's just a lack of execution where you go on those drives and some of them penalty related, of course. But you have five punts in that game. Dallas only has one punt. You're just not going to win very many games when you're giving up extra possessions like that and you can't get a stop. And part of it is Trent McDuffie. Part of it is Jalen Watson, who both of them at times yesterday looked like barbecue chicken.
They were getting cooked.
Jalen Watson was having a hard go of it. Shamari Connor was struggling yesterday as well. I don't know if I want to see if they had anybody else.
Maybe
Jaden Hicks, but there's times where I watch the games play. The one play in particular, after Shamari got burned.
Oh, my God.
After he got burned, why he's guarding CeeDee Lamb, I don't know. Maybe it's because Trent McDuffie got he got put on the blitz, and CeeDee was like, "Oh yes, please." He was eating his Thanksgiving meal early.
Yeah, oh,
he
yeah,
said
he
yes.
Was. Oh yeah. Pass the stuffing.
But right after he got beat by CeeDee Lamb, there was a play where he came up and could have gotten a tackle for a loss.
Yes,
and totally whiffed, it was a gain of like 8 or 9 yards.
If you can't do that, then you need to be out of the game.
Yeah.
You can't be on the field. And you said, well, maybe they don't have anyone else. Maybe Hicks. Like, they do. They have the best slot corner in the game. And yes, I know he was absolutely horrendous yesterday. 22. He lost some money probably yesterday. But that wasn't his true position. He was playing an outside corner. He is a slot corner. They are playing him as an X corner. If you want to say that that means he should not make as much money, I would agree with you. If that means he's not as valuable, I would agree with you. He should be. You have Noah Williams. Yeah. You have Christian Fulton. He's a healthy scratch. You're paying him $10 million.
I don't.
Where is he?
And I don't understand.
Christian Woolen Wallace hurt.
I don't understand because I think it was Cody that brought up the stat, or maybe it was Gold. I couldn't remember, but we looked at yardage of separation allowed. Noah Williams was better than Trent McDuffie. He was in the hip pocket on a more consistent basis of the wide receiver than Trent McDuffie has been this season, and he can't get on the field, and it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't. Because when you see plays like what happened to Jalen Watson yesterday, when you see what happened to Chamari Conner, and I know that they kind of play different positions, but when you see the wide receivers cooking at a level like they were yesterday, and again, the Chiefs actually did a pretty good job. I thought Jake Ferguson was going to be unbelievably good. He didn't get targeted as much as he normally does.
No,
it didn't matter.
It didn't matter. They found what they wanted to do.
The Achilles heel of the Chiefs defense, what it has been traditionally outside of just the pass rush, has been covering tight ends. And the tight ends haven't gotten the ball really each of the last 2 weeks. This one yesterday, though, they couldn't buy a stop. And last week against the Colts, if they got 5 stops in a row, if they only get 4 stops in a row instead of 5, they lose the game.
Yeah, exactly.
That was how bad things were last week as well as this week. It's just, it's the lack of a pass rush and the strength of their defense, which is the secondary, was not good yesterday. And as a result, they just weren't good enough on defense. When they needed to get a stop, they couldn't do it.
Why is it new faces every week in the secondary? Why is it new people? Why can't we find a rhythm? Why is Christian Fulton a healthy scratch? Like, what? And again, are we having miscommunications between the GMs and coaches? Because like, if I'm Brett Veach, maybe I'm asking, okay, what can I trade him then? If we're not going to play Christian Fulton, we're going to pay him $10 million. Like, what are we doing? It just seems like there's so many miscommunications. I want to get it figured out. We've got Sean Smith, former Chiefs defensive lineman, the man, the myth, the legend. Sean Smith will be on with us, and maybe he can help us figure it out.
I love it when they call you Big Pop.
Excited to have him on. Coming up next, Sean Smith, right here on your Black Friday football coverage, live with Drew Nixon and myself, Mac Morey, right here until 11 a.m. on 96.5 The Fan. It's your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select 1-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.